Okay, Kirk, it's all yours.
Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kirk and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, who will hopefully be arriving momentarily, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Took an extra long moment because I figure we got it while we're waiting anyway. Sometimes that's the best part of the meeting, just allowing some space in our busy, or at least for me, a busy scramble of the mind of the day. A preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. We ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are a willing sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. Quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we'll split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Richard to read the 12 steps of this here Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thanks, Kirk. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Richard. These are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Richard. Today, we will hear a talk on step 12. Please give a warm welcome to Cindy M. from Louisville, Kentucky. Woo!
Hi, y'all. My name is Cindy Masters, and I'm an alcoholic from Louisville, Kentucky. Proper way to say it is like you got a mouthful of food. And we're best known for a little pony race that the whole world knows about that takes about 2 minutes. And we also are where all bourbon originates. So that's probably the claim to fame within this group. My sobriety day is December the 17th, 1985. And for that, I'm extraordinarily grateful. It's the biggest deal in my life. And I have this amazing, crazy life. And I'm running late today. And I run a business, and this is during the middle of my workday. So really apologize for barely getting here under the wire. It's not generally my style. It's interesting because this is 12-step month for me, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But the first thing I want to talk about is that the 12 steps is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So that's the first thing. Have I had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps? Yeah, I have. Before I got to this step. And how many have I had as a result of these steps? Many. I'm in the middle of one right now. And it's interesting because I play Native American flute and use that for meditation tool. And when I play in the morning, I go outside and I'm very fortunate to live where I live, and I've got lots of wildlife. And so birds come when I play, and they're there anyway, but they come, a bunch of them, when I play. And right now it's cardinals that are coming. And so cardinals are generally a sign of lots of transformation. And I know that I'm in the middle of another transformative cycle, and how blessed am I. Then we try to carry this message to alcoholics. Now notice the word tried. And that's what I do. I try to carry this message to other alcoholics. And the biggest way that I carry this message to other alcoholics is with my feet, is by exampling this program, by treating everybody in these rooms and in the mall and in traffic with courtesy and kindness, so that I'm an attraction to share how we do that. And then The hardest part is practicing these principles in all our affairs, which is the courtesy and kindness in all of my affairs. And it's a much bigger deal to practice all of these principles here in my office, where I just disrupted a meeting to run to here, right? So who am I going to be courteous to, right? How I practice it here and there. Right? You know, I have employees that are dependent on me. I have clients that are dependent on me. These are all miracles of Alcoholics Anonymous. So just to briefly qualify, I got here homeless, living on the streets. I've been in 25 institutions, including state mental hospitals, jails, et cetera. I'd hitchhiked from one end of this country to the other. I originally got here in 1980. It took me five years to go from admission in step one to surrender to my innermost self that I was alcoholic, and that no matter what changed outside of me, when I drank, it was always going to take me. So spiritual awakening, we're going to talk more about that, but carrying this message to other alcoholics, golly, am I privileged and blessed? And has that changed through the years? You know, in the beginning, you know, it was showing up early, it was shaking hands. It was, that's carrying a message. It was showing that at 30 days sober, I was doing something different than a person that walked in one day. And it was showing somebody that was 2 weeks sober that at 30 days sober, they'd seen me already become different. That's the biggest thing I can do to carry the message, is let you see me be different. And then you'll want to know how I did it. And then I can share these steps with you. I can share the steps I took. But if you don't see something that you like, which is what comes from the last part of the 12th step, then what I have to say is not so meaningful because I'm not much of an attraction. I'm setting a record for myself this month, and I didn't intend to do it. I am doing 11 fifth steps. And my fifth steps are not like, let's sit down for an hour. That's not how I do it. I'm very present because my biggest gift I can give to you is to be with you. Is to really be with you. I didn't understand people that say they fell asleep in a fifth step. How in the world would you do that if you're truly present with another human being? And so when I listened to fifth step, we've worked the first four together. I'm doing a step study, and the two youngest women in the step study are 15 years. And the majority of women have 20, 30, 40 years sobriety. And I did this intentionally because, yes, when a new person's in the room, they become the total focus. But I've had two friends with 30 years sobriety die this summer from drinking, who drank after 30 years sober. And so if we are going to continue, and if we are going to practice this everywhere, how do we unlayer again and really look and really get the real of it and the honest of it and take another layer so we can have another spiritual awakening? And we are. And these women that have done many fifth steps, one had not done a fifth step in 30 years. In 30 years, because her sponsor 30 years ago had betrayed her. And she had held on to that. Well, she just did a fifth step with me, and you should see the transformation. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so for me, what is my willingness? All right. I've got a busy life. I've got a busy life. I've got parents I caregive for. I've got a mother-in-law I caregive for. I've got three businesses. I have a busy life. But I am never too busy for Alcoholics Anonymous because it is Alcoholics Anonymous that has given me this busy life. So far I've done seven. I have four more fifth steps to do. But it is 2 to 3 days each time a woman comes into my home because I'm not doing these over the internet. Right now, there's somebody sitting at my house that flew in from Montana on Wednesday. She's 35 years sober. And we have yesterday, 7 hours straight. And it's exhausting because I'm all in. But I don't know about you. When I got here, nobody gave me 1 hour all in. People were so sick of me. They would not give me their time. What's the most precious asset any of us have? Time. Am I willing to set aside all the things I think I want to do? All the things that give me an opportunity to make money? All the things that all worldly clamor to really be present and to carry this message? And so I've done this. This is the seventh time in 1 month that I've taken 2 to 3 days to do this. And why am I saying this? If you would have asked me, it makes me tired thinking about it, right? But when I'm in it, guess who's changing the most? Guess who is changing the most? Me. Because everything inside of them is inside of me, and they've given me permission to look at me anew. And I did a 6 and 7 step this month, completely different than any ever before because of the 12th step. Did I do a 4 step? Yes, but in the 12th step, because when I listen to your 5th step, I am not just listening. I'm sharing so that you don't feel alone. I'm sharing, you know, I'm sharing that, gosh, at 20 years sober, that was going on with me too. I get it. Yes, I was a complete jerk last month. And yes, I know what it's like to have that remorse and feel like at 20 years sober, I should be completely different. And so when I can see that, then I can go to God like a little child, completely broken in step 6 again. I didn't just get here broken. There are pieces of me that are still broken that I can't fix. Only God can. And I believe for any of us that haven't gotten perfect, that can't live up to every ideal we have, right? That by going back to God again in 6 and 7, I've had a transformation at 37 years sober that's indescribable. But why? It didn't start focusing on me. It's because I'm focusing on you. And in learning your truth, I learn mine, and I can become better because I can't sit and listen to you hurt or share things that make you vulnerable and not be willing to look at the same in me. I meet you where you are. And so you open me up. How blessed am I? There's a thing in the 12 and 12, and I'm a big book and a 12 and 12 person, but the 12 and 12 for the 12th step is my favorite, if I can find it here really quick. And it's on page 116. And it says, when we develop still more, we discover the best possible source of emotional stability to be God himself. We found that dependence upon his perfect justice, forgiveness, and love was healthy, and that it would work where nothing else would. If we really depended upon God, we couldn't very well play God to our fellows, nor would we feel the urge wholly to rely on human protection and care. These were the new attitudes that finally brought many of us an inner strength and peace that could not be easily shaken by the shortcomings of others or by any calamity, now here's the kicker, not of our own making. And so I'll share with you some of my sober experiences. So when I was 12 years sober, I had a highway motorcycle accident. I rode a Harley. It was my first meditation tool. And I got drove over by a car and I lost everything I owned, my business. My face got shredded. I lost my looks. I lost everything that I thought was important from the outside in. I lost my memory. I have a traumatic brain injury, spinal cord injury, a million things, right? A million things. But guess what? I stayed reasonably happy. I didn't create the calamity. And I followed that up and I had stage 3 breast cancer. And then I had this big lower back spinal cord injury. And then I fell through my attic, broke my neck and was paralyzed from the chest down. And I had all of that in 6 years, right? And people in AA took care of me. And let me tell you, that statement in step 12 was true because I was spiritually in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was useful. You brought me new people. And I didn't have much to offer. Sometimes it was just I would have a seizure and it would give somebody else perspective. But when they would visit me, they would feel better. And what happened was I had so many layers. I came from the streets. I was a street person. And I had so many layers of protection from trauma that I couldn't let people in. I never really felt loved. I faked it. And when I had the wreck, people had no reason to love me and I felt it. AA showed up for me in droves. And you brought me new people that I could help. And my life had more meaning, broken physically in that way, than it had the first 10 years sober. So broke on food stamps, Social Security, disability, not being able to remember people's names, it had value. Why this 12 step? Because if I'm not connected with God from the 11th step, what I just read is impossible. Because it is only by my reliance on God that I can practice these principles and that there's room for all of this transformation to take place. And then my desire to help others, because if I can be useful, my life matters no matter what. If I can be useful, my life matters. And it doesn't matter. And that's, see, I've been talking to some friends and, you know, I'm 60. I turned 60 this year. I'm mortified. I can't believe I'm 60. I was the kid in AA, right? Now I'm 60 years old. It's like, lordy. And I can't believe it. And so my friends were all talking about retirement. Who ever thought I would talk about retirement? Who would ever think that I even had retirement savings to talk about, right? Because I started over sober too, right? I lost everything. And then I started over again when I had a business because I didn't want to lay any people off. So I turned in all my retirement to keep my employees. Let me tell you, doing the right thing has always paid dividends. But here's what I know. Broke or not, in retirement, my life will be fulfilling. Why do I know that? Because you gave me purpose. And because AA is one of the few places that we reverence age and wisdom. Like somebody that has 50 years sober, I know I want to listen to them. I want to sit at their feet. I don't care if I disagree with how they got there. I don't get to disagree with it. They know something I don't. They know how to be sober 50 years, right? Now, if they're reasonably happy, I want to sit at their feet a long time. I want to learn, how do you do that? I want to hear all the stories. I want to hear, how did you stay sober through all of these things? And I find that people want to do that with me. They want to hear. And so, and I want to share and I want to listen to them. And so because of that, my retirement will have purpose. I don't need to figure it out. I don't need a career and an identity to feel like I have a reason for being. You are my reason for being. Being here is my reason for being. I'm uniquely qualified to help somebody that can't quit drinking to know that they can. I'm uniquely qualified to talk to somebody at 11 years sober that's ready to put a gun in their mouth. I'm uniquely qualified to talk about how not to do that and what can change and what can be different, even if you feel hopeless sober, because I know what it's like to feel hopeless sober. I know what it's like to take a walk in the dark sober and to get through it and to have transformation and to not let it own me. And that makes me safe for other people to tell me that. And so I have lots of stories to share and lots of experience to share, lucky me. And if all else fails, I can stand by the door. I can stand by the door of the meeting and say hello to the person that everybody else is leaving out. I can say hello to the person that everybody else isn't gathering around. That's my biggest gift, is that I can see the person that doesn't fit. I can see the person that's afraid. And somehow, if I go to them, other people didn't want to. See, there's this video out, and I watch all this stuff on leadership because I own these businesses and stuff. And it has this guy, and he's crazy, and he's up, and he's dancing, and he starts this movement of people doing this crazy dance. And he's the only one. Everybody else is sitting in a concert. You can look it up on YouTube. But he's not really the leader. It's the person that follows him to do the crazy dance that makes it safe for everybody else to come do the crazy dance. And before you know it, everybody's doing the crazy dance. And so that's what I want to be in AA. I want to be the crazy dancer that makes it safe for somebody else to go be with the person that's not fitting in. And then you can come because I've come, and then we can all just love that person, and we don't have to see what's wrong with them. We can tell them that transformation is possible no matter what, and that they're loved no matter what. And for me, that's the 12th step. The 12th step is, am I loving, comforting, and understanding? Am I focusing on you? In all my affairs, in all of my affairs, am I more worried about you than me? And for me, most of the time, the answer is yes. I've not arrived at all the time, but most of the time, I'm way more worried about the people around me. Even sometimes at work, I can be a little rough. I work with almost all men. I own a technology company. And so almost everybody that works for me are men. And sometimes I get a little harsh to get heard, but it's not for me, it's for us. Because the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous are written into, we have 9 ground rules here, no triangulation, you know, so the concept of responsibility equals authority. So in my company, if you take responsibility for something and you show it and you're consistent, you get authority over it. You know, it's a concept. So the concepts help me there. That's all of the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous in all of my affairs. I think that whether you're new or whether you're long, the most beautiful thing to me in Alcoholics Anonymous is it doesn't stop. There's no getting there. Like I don't know everything yet. And I'm a student, and I study it all, and I study you. And I look at happy people. Ollie's here, and I adore Ollie. And Ollie is, what I love about Ollie is that Ollie's kind, and that Ollie sees wounded people and recognizes it because Ollie's been a wounded person. And he always loves them. He loves them, and he shows them happiness and love and compassion. And I'm so attracted to that. That I want to be that. I want to always show love, and I want to be happy so that you're attracted to what I have. I want to be happy. I don't serve God if I make myself small. I only serve God if I glorify God. And my sponsor says, go show God off, Cindy, because that's attractive. That's attractive. I have a very fancy car, and I'm very uncomfortable driving it. Like, I feel like such a phony getting in and out of this car, right? Very fancy. It costs more than I paid for a house. You know, it's like, it's dumb. It's a dumb car. And I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off. I'm not going to like right now, you know, one of the doors won't open. I don't care. I like it because it makes it human. Right. But these people didn't know me at a meeting, and they told one of my sponsees, oh, she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. My sponsee got all mad. Right. Because I'm the farthest thing from being born with a silver spoon. And I called my sponsor. I said, should I get an old pickup truck and quit driving this car? She said, Cindy, if you're just like them, what did they have to grow to be? She said, go show God off. And that's in everything. And it doesn't mean you get a fancy car. There's a guy, we used to do prison meetings. So we went to prison. We both happened to drive Cadillacs at the time. And so we would tell all the guys in prison, and we went to men's and women's prisons, and we tell them, if you stay sober 10 years, you get a Cadillac. And that's not true, you guys. It's just not true. But but we made it look that way. And the truth is, I have also a 2001 pickup truck that has the windows that actually roll down. And I really am much more comfortable in that. And, but I got to show God off. And I got to show God off, not by what I have. That's really false stuff. I got to show God off because I'm the same person in the pickup as I am in the other car, as I am in anything. I got to show God off that I'm kind and loving and courteous, no matter what I have or don't have, no matter who I've lost, no matter who loves me, leaves me, or dies. You're going to get me, and I'm going to always have something to give you, even if I'm hurting, because the only thing that helps me not hurt is caring a little bit more about you than what's going on with me. I don't think I have a lot to add about this step. I'm sorry I was so last minute. Thank you for inviting me. And thanks, Lorraine and Sonny and Richard, you know, people that just tear me over and over. I'm always amazed that you come, and it makes me feel loved, and I love you. Ali.